Good afternoon, everybody. It's just gone 2 p.m., so we'll make a start just now. Hope you've all had a great conference so far, and you've had an opportunity to refuel over lunch. Welcome to the first session of the afternoon in the IT Pro track today. This session is SharePoint 2013 Hybrid End-to-End. My name's Sam Hassani. I'm currently working as a principal consultant at Brightstar. My primary goal at Brightstar is to work with customers to plan, design, and deploy infrastructure on SharePoint 2013. More recently, as we've seen clients and organizations move towards the cloud and Office 365, we've been working on a number of projects whereby hybrid's been a key feature and aspect of those projects and engagements. So, configuring the hybrid scenarios and all the dependencies that go with that has been something that I've been focused on for some time now. Prior to joining Brightstar just over a year ago, I worked at Microsoft for about 7 years as a premier field engineer, during which time I had the opportunity to attend and obtain the Microsoft Certified Master Training and Certification for SharePoint. And one of the last things I did while I was at Microsoft was a secondment with the product group working as a SharePoint 2013 beta engineer, where I was fortunate enough to try out and work on some of the early hybrid scenarios, working out proof of concepts and such. All of my contact details are here on the slide, so feel free to follow me on Twitter, contact me after this session if you do have any follow-up queries. I've also put my website and my company's website up there, which I do contribute to our team blog on fairly regularly. And don't forget, as for all sessions at the conference this year, we have Yammer groups associated with each of the tracks. So if you do have any discussion items or conversations that you want to take part in there, feel free to do so, and I'll be sure to be checking that after the session. How many of you attended Bill's session this morning? The IT Pro keynote. Okay, great. So a fair few of you. Fortunately, Bill stole a bit of my thunder for today, but I won't hold that against him. But as Bill alluded to this morning, there's a number of sessions around hybrid this week. And this session that you're in right now, Hybrid End-to-End, is the first session of the bunch. This really is kind of the overview session, the end-to-end piece around hybrid, giving you a bit of a whistle-stop tour of some of the key areas that you need to consider, and the end-to-end configuration process. There's a number of other sessions that will dive into particular areas of focus. So if it's the identity management piece you want to learn more about after this session, search, BCS, Business Connectivity Services, or even federating applications across on-premises environments and Office 365, the sessions that can help you with that. So to talk more specifically about what we're going to cover today, we'll start with why you'd want to implement hybrid scenarios with SharePoint. We'll then, which will form the bulk of the session, look at configuring hybrid. So as I say, the end-to-end piece, start to finish, as to what you need to consider and how you can go about achieving that to provide the hybrid scenarios to your organization. Once we've gone through that, we'll look at some of the challenges. And rather than calling these challenges such, I'd rather say considerations that you need to think about and pay attention to when you look at planning for and implementing hybrid scenarios within your organization. And hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end for some questions and further discussion. Okay, so why hybrid? Given that you've chosen to attend this session today, I'm sure you and your organization have desire and motives to move towards SharePoint Online. And I'm sure some of the reasons behind your thinking there are probably not too similar to some of the examples listed here on the slide. Obviously, SharePoint Online is very, very attractive. It allows you to focus on your core business and not have to worry and have the overhead of managing large infrastructure, services, and so on. It really, really allows you to collaborate with partners very, very easily. The amount of configuration that you would have had to previously put in place with infrastructure to achieve these sorts of things in the past was absolutely massive, and the cost benefits associated with SharePoint Online don't need justifying today in this session. And also, Microsoft have made it pretty clear that SharePoint Online will receive the latest and greatest in collaboration and social capabilities from a SharePoint perspective. But at the same time, you may be thinking that you do see the benefits in SharePoint Online and you have a desire to move there, but you can't just dive straight in. You need to plan for this carefully. It may be that you have existing investments in your internal infrastructure, lots of data there, data that can't necessarily be moved. You may have customizations which are tightly integrated with line of business applications, which will take time to think about how you may migrate those and move them over to the cloud. Well, if that's what you're thinking, you're probably not on your own, and that's obviously why you've attended this session today. But for a lot of organizations, moving to the cloud needs to be something that's carefully planned, and the process and transition is never going to happen overnight. And this quote that we have up here on the slide really is the goal of any hybrid model. Taking advantage of the hybrid scenarios in SharePoint really allow you to, I guess, leverage the capabilities that the cloud offers, but at the same time maintain the flexibility that you have today and the tight data governance that you have within on-premises systems. So in real terms, what does a SharePoint hybrid deployment look like? Well, it's quite simple, really. You have a SharePoint Online tenant, or maybe multiple tenants. You have your SharePoint on-premises farm, and this could even be an on-premises farm hosted in Azure using IaaS. So not necessarily on-premises, but using Azure virtual machines to support and run a SharePoint environment, giving you a bit more flexibility than perhaps Office 365 gives you to meet certain requirements you may have. And this really leads to a hybrid deployment, and the hybrid deployment piece is where we think about the services that we can take advantage of in SharePoint that allow us to share or federate capability. So some of the examples that you've probably heard about and that Bill touched on this morning were specifically around search. So if you have certain workloads running in SharePoint Online and you've moved or you're still running other workloads with content within those in SharePoint on-premises, you want to be able to surface that data holistically from a single entry point to your users. Search can help with that, and we'll look at some other examples in a moment too. So some of the common hybrid scenarios when you start thinking about this more specifically is organizations, as I say, may have this desire to move to the cloud, but you may not have had a great deal of experience working with SharePoint Online. So considering a hybrid deployment really allows you to get a taste for SharePoint Online. You can start with a pilot group of users or one specific workload to get started in the cloud. Get a taste for it, and slowly, once you've evaluated the capabilities that it has to offer, you can start planning how you might migrate. And the migration of particular workloads can be taken and planned for in a phased approach. So dealing with large data sets, complicated workloads, one at a time, in a manner that suits the pace that you can actually work with when you look at this approach of migrating. SharePoint Online also has the added benefit of rapidly being able to provision a new workload. So you've probably seen some of the new capabilities in the keynote this morning that have got you really, really excited. Perhaps it's the BI features, the BI capability. SharePoint Online would allow you to just deploy that workload in SharePoint Online, but maintain your existing content and other workloads within your on-premises environment until you plan for those to be moved over. You may be at the other end of the spectrum where you're ready to move to SharePoint Online in its entirety. However, there's certain aspects of your environment and your farm that just you can't move at this point in time, and you may never be able to move certain data or solutions over to SharePoint Online. So you could use your on-premises farm to actually supplement your cloud environment. And hybrid scenarios and capabilities lend themselves well to each of the different models that we've just discussed there. So in terms of the options around what SharePoint actually offers this space when you can consider that the hybrid scenarios and what's actually supported. The first option and the most common option that we see implemented is that of search. We can use query federation within SharePoint to issue queries from our SharePoint on-premises farm against a SharePoint online tenant and bring back retrieve results from that environment to the other and vice versa. And we'll take a look at this in today's session. And this really is going to kind of form the basis of what we talk about in today's session from a configuration perspective, using this as the example. In addition to that, we have business connectivity services. So today, you may have solutions in your on-premises farm that leverage BCS, whereby you're accessing data from a line of business application. You may want to move these solutions to SharePoint Online. Using the BCS hybrid capabilities, you could develop an app or an external list for SharePoint Online that speaks to an OData service in your on-premises environment and integrates with a particular line of business application. Duet Enterprise Online. Is anyone using this today? Show of hands if you are. I think there's a couple that have gone up there. That's more than I usually see. Be interested to speak to you after this session. But the third capability in hybrid scenario that SharePoint does support is this. And this allows SharePoint Online tenants to perform, again, using BCS, read and write operations against SAP systems within your on-premises environment. And the final piece, which really isn't a SharePoint-specific feature, but is more around something that is really a requirement or just makes sense to have in place when you look at taking advantage of any hybrid scenario within SharePoint, and that's of identity management. As we've been talking about these scenarios, or as you've considered in the past, you may be wondering how you deal with identities. What do you do? You obviously need to have users authenticate in SharePoint Online. You have directory systems or services in place in your on-premises environment. How do you provide a single sign-on experience to your end users so they're not repeatedly prompted for credentials every time they need to access content in a differing environment? We'll take a look at that shortly. So as I say, search is really going to form the basis of this session. We'll use this as an example throughout today. Hybrid search allows you to take a query that a user issues, and actually, once that query fires against your on-premises environment, against content that you host there, a trigger will actually issue the same query against content that you're hosting in your SharePoint Online tenant. And within the single search results page, you can render results from both the SharePoint Online tenant and your SharePoint on-premises environment. So you can see here a particular query is being issued. We have results at the top of the search results page from our SharePoint Online tenant, and then below that, we have results from our on-premises environment. So Bill touched on this morning, and this really is using a remote index capability within SharePoint Online. So some of you may have worked with federated search in previous versions of the product. It's much the same, whereby we actually just take that query, hand it over to the SharePoint Online tenant in this example, issue the query against the index in the online tenant, and retrieve the results. We're not crawling the remote farm or the remote tenant. However, as Bill announced this morning, that is something to come. And when that does arrive, it will provide enhanced capability and a better user experience, because there's a few things that you may not be so happy with or pleased with in this particular scenario. And you can probably see one of them straight away, and that's the fact that your results appear separately. So at the top of the page, we have this results block with our results from SharePoint Online. There's no interleaving of results. And if you think about it, that kind of makes sense because each of the different search indexes, i.e. the search index in your on-premises farm, the index in your online tenant, have different ranking models in place. And there's no intelligent way to actually integrate those. So all of our results from SharePoint Online in this example will appear as a single entity, as a block, with individual results within that. That block can be ranked within other results in your on-premises farm, but all the results will appear together. So Before you get to the stage of configuring SharePoint search, remote indexes, and so on, there's a lot of groundwork to consider, and that usually starts with identity management. So for any of the hybrid scenarios to be successful within your organization, this is something that you really need to get right. And there's a few different flavors of identity management that you can consider in both SharePoint Online and when you're working with SharePoint Online in a hybrid scenario. So when you set up your SharePoint Online tenant and you create a few users within the administration portal for that, those users are cloud identities, and those identities are stored in Windows Azure Active Directory, the instance of that, which is associated with your tenant. Obviously, at that point in time, out of the box, there's no relation between those users and the users that you have on premises. So you could stay working like that, and you could issue and create identities through PowerShell for all of your users, but obviously, that means that your users then have two sets of credentials that they need to manage, two passwords and usernames that they need to manage, and every time they attempt to access content when they're working between the two environments, they're going to be prompted for those credentials, and they're going to have to issue them and type them in, and that's going to get a little annoying for them. So the next flavor of identity management that we consider is directory synchronization, and this is really the recommendation as a starting point to go with when you are considering hybrid deployment scenarios. So directory synchronization takes advantage of a tool called directory synchronization, or DirSync as it's more commonly known. And what this allows you to do is to actually have a single set of identities, or the perception of that at least. So you can install directory synchronization, DirSync, within your on-premises environment. And this tool, which is based on FIM, will allow you to synchronize accounts that you have in your on-premises Active Directory with your SharePoint Online Azure Active Directory. And with a release that was made last year, I believe, as well as synchronizing the usernames and attributes for those users, we can now do password synchronization too. So that means that users only actually have one set of credentials to remember, a username and password. And when the password changes on premises, the password they use to access resources in SharePoint Online is obviously going to be the same. However, users will still be prompted for their credentials. Although they're going to be the same, they're going to have to type those credentials in when they attempt to access content in the remote tenant. So my kind of recommendation suggestion is, if you are going to go to the effort of implementing directory synchronization, you may as well go that extra step further to implement federated identities or single sign-on. And that really provides the richest end user experience where they have a single federated identity. And what that means is, as well as only having a single identity managed, when users are logged on to domain joined machines, we can use an identity provider such as ADFS to actually authenticate users against SharePoint Online. So users won't even need to enter their password or credentials when they attempt to access content that may be hosted in SharePoint Online when they're working within their SharePoint on-premises environment, vice versa. So we're going to take a look at how this kind of hangs together and some of the configuration around that in its entirety, starting with a more detailed look at DirSync, directory synchronization. So as I mentioned, this relies on a tool which is based on FIM, which you can download through your Office 365 administration portal. And it needs to be installed on a dedicated server within your on-premises domain. It allows you to synchronize objects from your directory within your on-premise environment to SharePoint Online. And it is limited to a number of objects, 50,000 there by default. However, if you do have more objects that you need to synchronize with SharePoint Online, you can work with Microsoft to increase this limit. If you do have an environment that large, then you're probably already working with Microsoft from an Office 365 perspective, so they'll be able to support you in gaining access to the tools and documentation you need to achieve that. So by default, when you run DirSync, everything within your directory, so all users and groups, will be synchronized to Azure AD. You can, however, put filters in place, and I'll mention that in a moment in terms of how we do that. But the filters can be based on organizational units, the domain, or even user attributes. By default, synchronization to the cloud happens by default on a schedule that is every 3 hours. You can't actually change that schedule, but you can initiate a sync to happen manually. And I'll show you just how you do that when we go through the synchronization process in a moment. As well as providing that enhanced user experience in terms of users only having that single identity to manage and not being prompted for the credentials every time they access content in SharePoint online, this actually is a requirement for certain hybrid scenarios, including search. So when users from an on-premises environment, for example, issue a search query, and you've configured hybrid search to actually issue that same query against your SharePoint online content, that query will require SharePoint online to go through what we call a rehydration process of that user's identity. And all that really is SharePoint online taking the user that's issued that request and looking up certain attributes in its own online profile store. It looks up certain attributes like the SMTP address, the SIP address, and the UPN for that particular user. If those properties aren't populated, the query that the user has actually issued won't return any results. So DirSync will handle, obviously, the population of those attributes for particular users in your Azure AD, ensuring that those queries can be successfully pushed through and results retrieved accordingly. So that was a bit around DirSync, but before you kind of look at installing and configuring DirSync, one of the first things that you need to do is think about adding and registering your domain externally so that users can actually authenticate against Office 365 with the domain that you register. So usually, a domain name that you choose to register externally will differ slightly to what you're using internally. So for example, if you're using contoso.local within your corporate network internally, you may register contoso.com externally. Whichever way you choose to do this, you need to register this with Office 365, and you need to verify that you do own that domain too. So this can all be achieved through the administration portal in Office 365. A wizard kind of takes you through this process where you add the domain, you create an MX record within your DNS registrar, and then verify that you own that domain. Once you've done that, you can go ahead and start the process of configuring directory synchronization. The first thing that you do there is actually enable your tenant to activate directory synchronization. And again, everything that we're kind of showing here can be achieved using PowerShell, but for the purpose of this session, I thought it's easier to show you what things look like in the UI. Within your administration portal, you can go ahead, activate directory synchronization, which is effectively just enabling directory synchronization. So when you then go ahead and build your DirSync server, when you attempt to connect to your Azure AD through the configuration process, you are actually allowed to push through, providing that you've entered correct credentials, users and groups from your on-premises environment to your Azure AD instance. Once you've activated your synchronization within your tenant, you can go ahead and build that server. So you can download and install the DirSync tool from the administration portal again. And what you've probably noticed here is that within the administration portal, each of these different stages of the process that I'm showing you have numbers next to them. So the portal itself actually is really, really intuitive and kind of guides you through this process when you come to configure this. Nevertheless, when you download that and install it on a particular server, again, remember, this needs to be a server that pretty much is dedicated for this purpose. You can't install this tool on a DC within your environment. It needs to be a standalone machine that is domain joined. You go ahead and run the DirSync tool. So there's a couple of pieces of this that I want to call out. And the first is entering the credentials for your Azure AD instance. And this is the piece of the process. Not only does it ensure that you have the right privileges to actually synchronize users to your Azure AD instance. The username that you enter here will actually include the tenant name. So this is how you're specifying the tenant and the Azure AD instance associated with that tenant that you're actually synchronizing users to. It's important that you get that right there. You kind of guide through the process, and at the same time, you need to specify credentials that have access to your internal AD, which allows you to actually pick up the users and groups that you have there and synchronize them to SharePoint Online. I hope you can see this, but there's an interesting stage of running the DirSync tool configuration wizard, and that's where we have this hybrid deployment piece called out. Unfortunately, this hybrid deployment reference here is not related to SharePoint in the slightest. It's talking about Exchange hybrid capabilities. So if you're purely focusing on implementing SharePoint in hybrid scenarios and not Exchange, this is something that you don't need to worry about, and you can skip over it. And in fact, you can see it's probably, well, hopefully you can see it's grayed out in this screenshot here. And the reason for that is my tenant doesn't actually have Exchange enabled, so that's not on my plan. And if that's the case, you will have this grayed out and you won't be able to select that option anyway. You then have the ability to select password synchronization as an additional option. Remember, that was a piece of functionality that was added only late last year. So this is something new, and it is something that you can choose to do or to leave aside. Once you've run through the configuration process, you're then presented with the final screen of the wizard, which will tell you that you've successfully created the connection from your on-premises AD instance to Azure AD, and you can start a synchronization right now. If you select the checkbox to do that, your directories will start to be synced. If you want to perhaps implement some filters so that not everything within your AD directory service is synchronized to SharePoint Online, you probably would want to deselect that at this point, go into FIM, put the filters in place, and then kick off the synchronization manually. There's then the final kind of confirmation screen there, which suggests how you can verify directory synchronization has completed or is set up correctly. And unfortunately, that does point to a TechNet article which no longer exists. So not much use there. Once you've successfully run a synchronization, your users will appear in your SharePoint administration portal. In this case, I've only got three users in my environment, and I've synchronized those up through to SharePoint Online. And you can see that the status of those users now is synced with Active Directory. So if we kind of look at the bigger picture and think about what we've achieved till now, users that are in our domain can log into their corporate network, and access all of the online, all of the on-premises content that we have. And when they attempt to access content in SharePoint Online, either directly or perhaps using search, should that have been configured too, they can enter their credentials. It will be the same credentials that they use on-premises, and they can access that content securely. If they choose to save the password within the browser and so on, then again, next time they come to access content in SharePoint Online, they won't even need to enter those credentials again. So that's kind of the story so far, and that's a pretty good end-user experience for the most part. But it isn't true single sign-on. So if you want to provide that rich single sign-on experience where users don't even have to enter their password when they attempt to access content in SharePoint Online, you'll need to look at configuring SSO. First thing that you'll need to do here, if you want to configure SSO and work with ADFS to achieve this, using ADFS as your identity provider, is meet certain prerequisites. So you'll need to make sure that your domain is at a Server 2003 R2 functional level at a minimum. And also, you'll need to make sure that UPNs are set correctly within your internal domain. What I mean by this is, if you do use a domain externally, which is different to the domain that you use internally. So remember the example of using contoso.com opposed to contoso.local. You'll need to push through that domain name suffix in your internal Active Directory so that users can log on to SharePoint Online using the UPN that includes that external domain. So samhassani@contoso.com. And that contoso.com piece needs to be added to your Active Directory internally. The next stage is deploying ADFS. From a development and testing perspective, building out lab environments, pretty straightforward to go ahead and do that. However, for larger corporate environments, it's something that you'll probably need to plan and consider and ensure that you have a highly available configuration in place and that ADFS is actually managed as any other service is managed, or at least in line with how your SLAs are in place for SharePoint itself. Because if ADFS goes down in a particular SharePoint hybrid scenario, that potentially could mean that users who are used to working with SharePoint Online seamlessly from the SharePoint on-premises environment can suddenly no longer access anything. So you do need to treat this as a real service within your organization. And it's worth calling out that ADFS isn't the only federated identity provider that you can consider in hybrid scenarios for single sign-on in SharePoint. It is possible and it's supported to use other third-party products. So I've worked on a project recently where we've used Ping Federate SSO because the particular organization already had an instance of this set up and configured, and we just piggybacked onto that for this particular project. So there are other options too. The next stage is to install the Microsoft Online Services Sign-In Assistant and the Windows Azure AD PowerShell modules. And the reason that you need to do this, and this can be done on a machine, it could be the DirSync server, it could be another machine within your environment. But what this allows you to do is to establish the trust relationship between your ADFS service or otherwise and your Windows Azure Active Directory. And you can do this running a little bit of PowerShell. You can't actually do this through the administration portal. But if you've already created the domain and you've added it, as we previously illustrated through some of the screenshots there, you'll need to convert the domain to be federated. If, however, you haven't gone through the process of adding the external domain to your Office 365 tenant, you can create a new domain and specify that you want it to be federated as you add that new domain to your Office 365 tenant. I'll show you what that looks like in just a moment. Before we do dive into the demo, though, I just want to kind of give you a quick overview of what my demo environment looks like, because we will be hopping across multiple machines and environments, so it's worth just going through this pretty quickly. But on the left-hand side of the screen here, you can see what my on-premises environment looks like. And my on-premises environment here isn't really on-premises. It's actually hosted in Windows Azure IaaS. So I'm running virtual machines in the cloud that's acting as my on-premises environment for the purposes of this demo. So not only is it easier for me to manage and maintain Azure VMs for my lab environment, it also proves that the hybrid scenarios within SharePoint actually do work between Azure IaaS or other private cloud scenarios and Office 365. Within my Azure IaaS environment, I have a few machines there. So I have an all-in-one server, which is acting as a domain controller, a SQL server, and it's running my SharePoint 2013 farm. By no means a best practice, but to keep costs low of my Azure VM environment, that's how I've implemented things. We all know those machines can be quite pricey if you forget to turn them off. I've also got another machine running ADFS. We won't really be jumping on that and diving into that too much today. But the service is there, and it's set up and configured. And finally, I've got my server running DirSync and the SharePoint Online tools. And what I mean by that is the SharePoint Online Sign-In Assistant and the Azure AD modules for PowerShell installed. Over on the right-hand side, you can see what my Office 365 tenant looks like. The name of the tenant is brightstardevelopment.onmicrosoft.com. In both environments, I have a couple of web applications and site collections configured. So on-premises, I have an intranet web application, and I do have my sites configured and enabled, so we'll be looking at those too. And in my Office 365 tenant, I have a few site collections, but I do also have a my site host with my sites created too. Okay, so if we flip over to the demo environment just now. Okay, great. So right now, we're looking at the administration portal for my tenant in SharePoint Online. What I want to show you, first of all, is the number of domains that I have here. So as well as the default domain that's created for me when I instantiate my tenant, I also have the domain that I added, so hassanionprem.com. And in my demo environment, I'm using the same domain name both internally and externally. And this is already registered with my DNS registrar externally. You can see the status is active because that's been verified by Office 365. If I click on that, I can actually see here through the UI that single sign-on is enabled too. So a little message here kind of points that out. Equally, if I go into PowerShell with the Active Directory module loaded, I can see similar things too. First thing you need to do when you do work with PowerShell and SharePoint Online is actually connect to your tenant. And you can do that by running following little commandlet, connect MSL service. And then, again, based on the username that I type in with the tenant name, it will connect to the correct tenant for me. Just type those credentials in. No error there, so I can assume that it's connected successfully. I can then run the following commandlet, get msol domain. And what that will do is bring back the list of domains that we have within our Office 365 tenant. So again, we see a similar thing here, whereby we have hassanionprem.com, it's verified, and this points out a little more clearly that this domain has been successfully set up for Federation, so the true single sign-on there. Next thing I want to show you is within the administration portal, the piece around directory synchronization. So if we navigate over to user and groups, we can see within here the different users that we have within our online tenant and the status of those users. So you can see that I have a number of different users here, a couple of which are synced with Active Directory, and that's because DirSync is set up and configured correctly, and another user, which is my global administrator, running as a cloud identity. So in terms of actually managing directory synchronization, once you have been through the process we discussed earlier, everything you do with your directory still should happen on premises. So when you're creating and removing users, you should be managing those users in your on-premises AD environment. So if I load up Active Directory users and computers here, you can see three users that we saw there within my administration portal are listed here. So I've got the same users, Joe Bloggs, Matt Harding, and Test. So what I'm going to do is actually delete one of these users. So Joe Bloggs has just been fired. So I'm going to delete him there. And he's been replaced by a new user. This user has got a name of SPC Demo. I'll quickly create him. Just here, give him a password, and away we go. So we've done that in our Active Directory. So at this point in time, none of those changes will be reflected in our SharePoint Online tenant unless, miraculously, the three-hour sync interval happened at the exact point between me creating that user and refreshing that page, but unlikely, hopefully. So what we can now actually do is go over to the DirSync server, which I'll do just now, and force a synchronization to run. We can do that by navigating through to the Azure Active Directory sync hive. And within that, you have a DirSync config shell. And that just loads a PowerShell window with the DirSync modules loaded to allow you to manage the DirSync service. So what I can do here now, once those are loaded, is actually
through that. It would help if I connected to the service first. Oh no, what am I doing here? I don't know what's going on with this. That's strange. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. But what I can show you is, if we drill down into the synchronization service directory, we can actually open up the FIM client. And what you can see here is the FIM-based utility and all of the synchronizations that have occurred. So if we look at the time of the server right now, you can see it's 10:42, so we're still on UK time here. Last sync actually occurred at 8:37. You can see there's three stages to each synchronization. So prior to the 8:37 running of that synchronization process, we had 5:30, 2:30, and so on. And when you do run these synchronization events, so if we have a look through this, you can see, so there was one event last night whereby some of the detail here shows that objects have been added and removed. So when the synchronization actually occurs, you can see what's happened there. So which objects have been added and which objects have been removed. So if I click on Adds there and drill into that, we can see that a new user, Joe Blogs, was actually added to our Azure Active Directory instance there. And at the same time, if I click on Deletes, go through that, you can see that a user with the name of Demo was actually removed. And that's the process that goes through there. Other thing I can show you here is logged on to a particular server within our domain. So again, this time I'm logged on to the Directory Sync server as a test user. And the purpose of this really is just to show what the single sign-on experience looks like. I'm using this machine simply because I don't have any other domain join machines that can act as a client. But what I will do is show you that the user I'm logged in with is this guy called Test. And if we browse to a particular site, so for example, within IE here, you may remember from the screen we saw earlier, we have intranet.hassanionprem.com. So this is our on-premise environment. This is a site collection running on-premises. I'm logged in with this guy, Test User. Now, if we attempt to hit one of our site collections in SharePoint Online, so I've saved the shortcut to a particular team site here. Browse over to this. You can see that it straight away redirected me to the SharePoint Online site. And because I've never logged in with this particular user, I've not saved credentials or anything, it's going to ask me for my credentials. So if I go ahead and type in my domain credentials in UPM format, you can see what happened there was, it was very, very quickly. It all happened very quickly. But what I did was I typed in my username, and before I even had the opportunity to enter my password, it actually redirected me to ADFS. ADFS took that username, realized that was the user that I was logged in with as, and has authenticated me again SharePoint Online. So although I still had to enter my username there, I didn't have to enter my password. I could save that username and associate it with this particular site within the browser so that I'm constantly authenticated anytime that I attempt to access content here in the future. So that's how the single sign-on process works.
Are there any plans to eliminate that
stuff? It's unlikely to be eliminated, but it is something that you can manage. So the question there was there any plans to eliminate that step? It's something that's kind of there by default, but it's something that you can very, very easily avoid. So it's something that you can suggest within the browser when the user logs on for the first time that those credentials are saved or that username is saved. But the user on first attempt will need to know what format they enter their username in. They then, as soon as they enter that in with the correct UPN, with the correct domain, they'll be authenticated successfully. Okay, so we'll flick back to the slides. So there's a couple of different options you have when it comes to hybrid from a topology perspective. And the example that we're going to look at today is what is known as the one-way outbound topology. So within this slide, what you can see is on the left-hand side, we have our Office 365 tenant. On the right-hand side, we have our on-premises environment. And an outbound topology means that any outbound requests from your on-premises environment can be authenticated against SharePoint Online because the SharePoint Online environment trusts your on-premises environment. However, requests made the other way won't work because there's no trust in place. So this is quite a common scenario whereby you create search centers in a hybrid scenario that allow your users to search from SharePoint sites within on-premises and have those search queries issued against the index, configures a remote index in your SharePoint Online tenant, and retrieve results in that direction, but not the other way around. It's worth noting that as well as only supporting that specific one-way search, search query mechanism, it also doesn't support BCS or Duet Enterprise Online. So for BCS to work in a hybrid scenario whereby you may have an app within SharePoint Online communicating with your on-premise environment because requests are made in that direction, you would need to configure a trust in the opposite direction. So in this particular example, where we have an inbound topology, we don't have the trust relationship as we had previously, but what we have is the ability to authenticate requests in our on-premises environment that have been issued from our SharePoint Online tenant. So our on-premise environment trusts our SharePoint Online tenant in this example. And this is probably quite a rare scenario, only having the trust set up in this direction. Usually, you'd either have the outbound or where we have the trust set up in both directions. And this is what we call the two-way bidirectional topology. So for all of the SharePoint hybrid features and capabilities to work, this is what you would need to implement. You need to establish the trust relationship in both directions. And when you have the inbound trust in place and you're accepting requests from your SharePoint Online tenant within your on-premises environment, it makes sense to have a reverse proxy device implemented. It's actually a requirement to do so, so that requests that are made from the hybrid capabilities against your on-premises environment can actually be intercepted, and the reverse proxy device can act as a secure endpoint to go and pre-authenticate that request, come back, and make sure that we trust that request that's being made, and we can intercept anything that shouldn't be actually accessing the environment at that stage before our SharePoint servers have even been hit by that request. So in terms of reverse proxy device options there, it is only required for that inbound or bidirectional topology. Bidirectional does include inbound. But it is something that has certain requirements that you need to meet. These are all listed here, but there isn't a great deal of importance of running through all of these right now. And the reason for that is Microsoft has actually listed supported reverse proxy devices. And all of the supported reverse proxy devices are documented online. You may be aware that late last year, Microsoft announced that they're retiring certain forefront products, such as the Threat Management Gateway, UAG as well there. And that's kind of left people thinking a little bit around what they're going to do around reverse publishing of SharePoint. Thankfully, we have Windows Server 2012 R2, which now has the web application proxy, WAP, capability, and this can be used within this scenario too, as well as just standard publishing for your SharePoint site, should that be something you're interested in too. In addition to that, we have the F5 Big IP device, which again is another supported reverse proxy device for this particular scenario. And for each of the approaches listed there, although TMG has now or is going to be retired, the support is going to be there for some years to come. So that is still an option. And for each of these, we have detailed documentation on how they can be configured for inbound topology using hybrid capabilities. So once you've kind of got that topology in place, you've configured your reverse proxy device, there's certain configuration that you need to run through. And this all revolves around establishing the trust relationships that we just spoke about. So to establish the trust relationship between your on-premises environment and your online tenant, certain SharePoint service applications need to be created along with their corresponding services to be started. So we have the user profile service application, the app management, and the subscription setting service application. The user profile service is required for that rehydration process we talked about earlier. But in addition to that, we have the app management and subscription setting services, which you may be wondering why they're required, even if you're not considering using apps in this particular topology or scenario that we're talking about. The reason for this is when we establish the trust relationship between the on-premises farm and the SharePoint Online tenant, we actually treat SharePoint Online as a high-trust app. So those of you that are configured on-premises farms to support provider-hosted apps, you go through a process of exchanging certificates, and that certification or trust process of doing that exchange to configure what we call server-to-server authentication relies on the app management service and the subscription setting service. So for that particular process of establishing the trust relationship and exchanging certificates, there's a number of steps that you need to take, and there's a lot of sample PowerShell on TechNet that guides you through this. I'm not going to talk through every line of this right now, but you get an idea as to what that's going to involve, and you can see that there is a fair amount to get right there, so it's something that you should definitely look at testing and making sure is verified before you go ahead and do that for real. Once you have all the infrastructure configuration in place, you can actually look at configuring your particular hybrid scenario. So if we consider hybrid search, there's two real stages to actually configure that capability within SharePoint. So again, thinking about the scenario of being able to issue queries from a search center to both our on-premises content and our online content, there's certain things that you need to do. And the first of which is configuring what we call a result source. So result sources were introduced in SharePoint 2013. Really were a combination of what we had as search scopes and federated search in SharePoint 2010. Being packaged together and rebranded as what we call result source. So in this particular scenario now, we're really just using the federation capability. So we configure what we call a remote SharePoint index. And in this case, within our on-premises environment, we would configure the SharePoint Online tenant to be our remote index location. If you're going with inbound search as well, there's additional configuration that needs to be put in place. So this inbound search scenario requires client certificate authentication to be in place. And this is one of the reasons why you need to have the reverse proxy device in place. So if that's a scenario that you are interested in, I'd highly recommend attending Neil Hodgkinson and Manas's session on hybrid search tomorrow, as they'll be going through that in much more detail than we do today. Once you have configured your result source, you can configure what we call a query rule. And query rules can be used in SharePoint 2013 in a number of different ways to manipulate search in a number of different scenarios. They're very, very flexible things that have a number of purposes. But in this particular scenario, what we need to do is configure a query rule so that any time a particular search query is issued within a specific context within our site, that same query is fired against SharePoint Online. And we implement a query rule which will handle that. So if we flick over to our demo environment, we can take a look and see what that looks like. Okay, so back over to the user that we're logged in as, test user here. Remember, this is my SharePoint Online tenant. And here, I just have a few documents, SP Online 1, 2, and 3. And these are just simple text documents just to illustrate this demo. And hope you can see that all that document or text file contains is the word test. And that's the query we're going to be using. If I flick over to my on-premises site collection and browse to the document library here, what we can see is we have similar documents loaded, on-prem 1, 2, and 3. And again, it's the same file, just includes the word test there. If I move over to my search center, and this search center is on-premises, so intranet.hassaniomprem.com/search. If I issue a query for test, the results that we retrieve here are results from my on-premises environment. I've not gone through any of the search configuration process there. So you can see that I've got a few results from my My Sites, but then those documents that I just showed you, so on-prem one, for example, is down there towards the bottom of the page. So the first thing we need to do to set up our remote index is configure a result source. I can do that from site settings within my search center. If I navigate over to search result sources there, I can select new result source and go ahead and create that. I can enter a name, so we'll go SPC demo result source. And then you can specify the protocol. So remember, result sources allow you to create a federated search location as well as search scopes. Because this is a federated search location we're creating rather than a scope, we select the remote SharePoint option here. You can then specify the actual remote service URL, and that only appeared when I selected the remote SharePoint option. So what I need to do there is put in the root site collection of my SharePoint Online tenant. So what I'll do is just open that in another window, and copy that from over here, and add that in. Then go ahead and save that, and that should get created. And we can see that SPC demo result source is there. Now that we have our result source, we can go ahead and create the query rule. So if I dive into search query rules, first thing I need to do is specify the context as to when this query rule is actually going to be fired and triggered. So I want this query rule to be associated every time that I actually issue a search query against my standard SharePoint result set, and that's my local SharePoint results, a default result source for my search center. Once I've selected that, I can go ahead and create the new query rule. I'll give this a name. And the first thing that I can complete here is a particular condition for this rule to fire. I could say, for example, only fire this rule when a particular query string is matched. I don't want that in this example. I just want this query to be issued against my online tenant every time a query is made from this search center. So what I need to do is actually hit the remove condition there. And then I can configure the action as to when this query rule runs, what's going to happen. And I'm going to add the results block. So the results block allows you to specify either a particular query to issue against the result source and a particular source. So I'll keep the query as default there, but rather than using the original source, which would just return me results from the result source that I'm already bringing results back from, I need to specify the result source that's associated with my online tenant. And that's the SPC demo result source that we just created. I can then specify how many items this results block will create. I'll specify 3 there. And then if I drill into settings here, you have a few options around whether or not you want to show a more link. But the key option I want to show you here is whether or not this block will always be shown above the core results or if it's going to be ranked within the core results. And notice there within brackets it says may not show. And the reason for that is if your on-premises search engine determines that that results block is actually ranked lower than all of your results that you are returning from your on-premises content, you may have to drill down to kind of 10, 15, or more pages right at the end of the search results set to even see those results. It may be something that you do have faith in terms of the ranking model that's used there, but in this particular example, I want to show you the results being pulled through from SharePoint Online. So I'll select that this results block is always shown. Hit OK there, and click Save. And we can see that that rule has now been created and that it's active. So SPC demo query rule, which we've just created. So if I navigate back to my search center and perform a search, again, we'll issue the same query. Go for test. You can see the first thing that we see within that results page are results from SharePoint Online. So brightstardevelopment.sharepoint.com, which is my online tenant name. We see the three results, SharePoint Online 1, SharePoint Online 2, and so on. And then below that, we have the results from our SharePoint on-premises environment. So my.hassanionprem.com, intranet.hassanionprem.com, and so on. So this example kind of shows search configuration from a hybrid perspective using the results block capability. But you're not limited to using that results block capability. You can use a results source that you create, so that results source that's associated with a remote index, in a number of different ways. So you may choose to, for example, have results displayed on a separate tab within your results center, or sorry, your results page within a search center. You may choose to implement a custom search-based navigation, which allows you to build navigation using search, bringing through results from both SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises. And that's something that we'll talk about in a moment around that kind of consistent navigation across the two environments. I'll flip back over to main screen here. Okay, so to finish off with then, we'll talk through some of the hybrid challenges that I've faced, and I know others in the community have faced when actually working with hybrid scenarios in SharePoint. And because we're calling these challenges, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're challenges that can't be overcome. They're just additional considerations that you need to make when you look at using hybrid within SharePoint. And we'll talk through each of these in turn. Social experience is something that has been improved, and you will have seen that in this morning's keynote with Bill, but there's other considerations to make too. So from a social perspective, if you think about the scenario where you have, say, collaboration sites running in SharePoint on-premises, but then you have other project-based sites running in SharePoint Online, you want to be able to provide your users a single social experience. And again, by default, if you haven't configured anything, your users will have a user profile in SharePoint on-premises, a user profile in SharePoint Online. And if you're using Yammer as well, they could potentially have a third user profile within Yammer too. So how do you kind of bring this together? Well, it's not so straightforward, but there are some options, and some of which you saw this morning, and we'll talk through those in a moment too. But which social experience should a user be presented with when they do attempt to edit their profile, or when they do hit that newsfeed button in the sweet bar? When they hit SkyDrive Pro on-premises or OneDrive for Business and SharePoint Online. So something that I can show you very, very quickly, just conscious of time now, if we flip back over to the demo environment. One thing Bill showed you this morning was the new capability with Service Pack 1. How many of you have had the opportunity to install Service Pack 1 for your on-premise environment? A few of you. Okay. So what Bill showed us this morning was this new area that's added to Office 365. Sorry, that's added to your on-premise environment called Office 365. And that allows you to configure Yammer. And if you configure Yammer here, you activate Yammer for your on-premises environment, it will replace newsfeed with the Yammer button, and it will create that external link for you to navigate through to Yammer. Equally, You have the OneDrive and Sites links that can be updated too. So you can provide the My Site host URL for your SharePoint Online tenant and redirect users from your SharePoint on-premises farm to SharePoint Online when they hit the items in the sweet bar up here at the top. But what about if you want it the other way around? And what if you don't have Service Pack 1? Well, one thing you can do is actually use something called Trusted Host Locations within your user profile service application. So if you navigate through to your UPA, you have this configured Trusted Host Locations. And you can use this very similarly to how you can use the OneDrive My Site redirection link. So within this, if I grab my My Site host URL from my SharePoint Online tenant, which is just over here. Oh, no. We did have it there. So brightstardevelopment-my.sharepoint.com. I'll grab that, pop it over into the URL field for this trusted host location. Again, you can specify a target audience. I'll do it for all users. In this example, hit OK. And what that should now do is, when we're logged into an on-premises site collection, if I flip back over to the VM that we're logged in with the test account, sometimes this can take a few minutes to update, but now when I hit newsfeed, what should happen is it should redirect me to my My Site host within my online tenant. Doesn't seem to have gone through yet. As I say, it can take a little while to update. Still not going. Just give that a second. Okay, it's not playing ball today, but you take my word for that, it will eventually update once it synchronizes down to the site, and when you click newsfeed, it'll redirect you to the newsfeed for your online tenant. Equally, if you've configured Yammer, as we just showed there, it will allow you to redirect through to Yammer. But that's not the entire social experience. There are other things to consider. So, for example, what about when you at mention somebody or you use the follow capability or tags or notes within SharePoint sites? All of that information is stored in either your social database or content databases in your on-premises environment or your online tenant, respectively. So that information can't be replicated out of the box. There's no way to move that information from one environment to the other. It's just something that's not going to happen. So you need to think about that, and you need to make sure that you've got procedures in place to prevent that functionality from being used if you don't want to provide that inconsistent experience to your users. The next area that should really have consideration, and this is really kind of relevant to both whether or not you're working in a hybrid scenario or purely just in SharePoint Online, but the ability to actually manage how customizations are built and deployed for SharePoint Online. And typically, if you're running in hybrid, you may be looking at running with certain customizations. And as we touched on at the start of the session, Office 365 will receive the latest and greatest updates. And those updates are pushed through at an extremely high cadence. Some of you may have seen how quickly big pieces of functionality do come through to your online tenants. And you also may have seen how certain updates, although no new functionality has been introduced, do impact your tenant or a particular customization in a certain way. And that really makes testing crucial. So when you think about application lifecycle management, you really need to think about how you're testing what you build. Obviously, it's important to ensure that you are building your applications in line with the best practices that Microsoft gives you guidance on. But at the same time, you need to make sure that what you have built does work, and you need to go through a fairly strenuous automation process to ensure that you are testing regularly. And this does require a lot of investment. And the easiest way to kind of get this through is by the automation of site and content recreation, solution deployment, managed property creation. Anything that your custom applications in SharePoint Online may include should be built into that development automation process. Another thing I just wanted to mention too was around test tenants. So there seems to be quite a bit of confusion in the field as to whether or not you can have multiple test tenants per Active Directory instance. There is a requirement for a one-to-one mapping between a DIR sync server and Azure and a unique tenant, so the Azure AD instance associated with your tenant. But the real requirement is around syncing objects to different tenants. So you cannot sync the same objects to multiple tenants. However, you can use filters within FIM to associate particular objects with a particular tenant, and you can use multiple DIR sync servers to synchronize particular objects to different tenants. And that's really, really useful in application lifecycle management when you're developing for SharePoint Online. Business continuity management and operations really need to have careful consideration paid to them. Just because your servers and services are running in the cloud, it doesn't mean that you can forget about this. You need to think about how you integrate online operations and support with your own. And there's a number of different items to consider here. So monitoring and alerting. If SharePoint Online has some sort of outage or degraded service for a particular time frame, how does that integrate with your own operations? How will you be alerted of that? How are you going to get that information through to your support desks and your internal organization? Equally, if your end users that are using SharePoint Online sites and are still using content or sites within your on-premises environment, what does your support infrastructure look like as a whole? So do your support desks now have a way to route requests through to SharePoint Online? How's that going to be managed? Again, it's a challenge. It's something that needs to be planned for, but it's all very workable. It just needs that consideration. And finally, user transition. So I touched on this a moment ago around kind of providing consistent experience for your end users. But users, when they're searching for content, they search for content from a search center on premises. They may then be redirected to a site in SharePoint Online, as we just were when we performed our query for test. Users then end up in a site in SharePoint Online, and before they know it, they've ended up somewhere where they're not sure where they are, and more importantly, they don't know how to get back to where they were. So it's something that you need to consider around whether or not your design lends itself well to transitions between environments. And again, there are a number of solutions to this. Branding is one, navigation is another, and it's something that is totally workable. So to wrap up then, hopefully you've seen that some of the key features in SharePoint 2013 today and the investment that's been made through service packs and updates really do lend themselves to allowing you to move to SharePoint Online on your own terms. And that really is a requirement of the IT industry today, is to allow you to have your on-premises environment and cloud environments in coexistence with each other. At the same time, though, it is important to understand that hybrid scenarios do not cater for every single business requirement. There are certain scenarios where the hybrid solutions that we've discussed and that are supported for SharePoint may not be quite right for you. So it is really important to understand what the strengths and weaknesses are within hybrid SharePoint and then make sure that you plan accordingly for that. So my final point there would really be to make sure that you do think through this stuff very, very carefully and plan for a very, very structured and phased transition to the cloud. There's a lot of capability you can take advantage of. At the same time, you can use customizations and development efforts to bring things together in a more transient way. But at the same time,
I wouldn't recommend you try and bend things too much, as this is a very, very changing platform, as we've seen with the updates to the social experience and whatnot. So if you do try and bend things too much, they may end up breaking. On that note, some useful resources there for you. Documentation has just been re-released for hybrid on SharePoint. You can access all that on TechNet. I think it was pushed through late last week. There's a number of other communities and resources that you can use out there on the web. Please do complete your evaluations. And I think we're out of time, so if you do have any questions, come and grab me. I'll be around for a while. Thank you.